What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, November 22nd, 2019. I am your host, Imran Khan, and joining me today is FM3 underscore, the best wrists in the business, Fran Mirabel III.
Wow. That's it. I clearly didn't read all this. That came out of Gamescast this week.
That did.
We were wrist modeling.
Yeah, if you were a Patreon, sirens are on our end.
Yep.
If you are a Patreon subscriber, you would have seen Gamescast yesterday.
That's right.
Where during our pre-show, we found out Fran has the best wrist
in the game industry. I really don't think that at all, but anyway, I appreciate it.
He was bragging about them the entire pre-show. It's like, okay. I could be a hand model, look at the wrist with the watch, and he like placed it on the cup.
Now that I did do, but I never said those other things. Anyway, happy to be here. So much news today.
So much.
We're just
bursting at the seams and not at all trying to fill time.
There wasn't.
This is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, where we run you through all the nerdy video game news that's fit to hear. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. To be part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, or listen later by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily on podcast services around the globe. Kevin, how you doing today?
Doing solid.
Awesome. I just want to make sure I give you a shout-out. Today's stories include Resident Evil 3 Remake reportedly exists, Final Fantasy 14 may be coming to PlayStation 5, and it's Friday, so there's really not a whole lot else.
Yeah.
First off, a little bit of housekeeping. There's a London meetup today with Greg Tim. If you want, I did it as one name because
yeah,
it's one person.
You know, yeah. That's Greg one Tim. Person now.
Yes.
On the flight over, they like traveled through like some sort of like time and space continuum issue.
It's like the lost thing. Yeah.
The Greg Tim. Go see Greg
Tim. Yeah. Grim. That's today. If you don't have tickets, you're probably out of luck. There are a bunch of community meetups, though. So go to the Kind of Funny subreddit to look for what people are doing and where their meetups are doing. So if you're in London and you just want to hang out, there's probably some Kind of Funny best friends to hang out with. I want to thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack, Zach Parsley, and Muhammad. Today, we're brought to you by Third Love, Upstart, and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! We got two stories today.
The Baker's Dozen!
First off, according to sources, Resident Evil 3 Remake is coming in 2020. This is from Eurogamer by Tom Phillips. Capcom will follow a successful Resident Evil 2 remake with a new version of Resident Evil 3, a report today suggests. This comes from YouTuber Spawnwave, who said it was on track for a 2020 launch. Eurogamer has heard of the project also. Sources close to its development suggest that it has been in development for some time. Although the franchise's upcoming multiplayer portion, Project Resistance, is currently being given the spotlight. Development on the game has been hinted at, more or less, by Capcom itself in the past. The developer suggested more remakes of its classic back catalog would follow if Resident Evil 2 sold well. And considering the positive fan response to the brilliantly creepy Resi 2 redo, the fact Resi 3 is in development should be of little surprise. It's terrifying Mr. X was a standout, and the modding scene went to town, putting him in a thong and turning him into Thomas the Tank Engine. While we wait, the impressive Resident Evil 3 HD texture pack gives us a glimpse at what the game might look like. Capcom has declined to comment when contacted by Eurogamer. So this is a really badly kept secret.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, it doesn't surprise me. It's like we had to just choose what was coming next, and I don't think anybody thought Code Veronica was actually going to be the one, and Resident Evil 2 came out, so gee, I wonder what's going to come next.
I mean, so the history of Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 3, and Code Veronica is all very interesting, and like the short version is they were making Code Veronica as Resident Evil 3. This might be apocryphal. This might be a thing that actually has gotten proven wrong over time.
Yeah, but let's go with it. I don't know this.
The original thing I had heard, which might be a thing they've denied since then, was that they were making Code Veronica for the Dreamcast. And then Capcom was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why are you making Resident Evil 3, the next mainline Resident Evil game, for a system that's not the PlayStation? Because it's not going to sell as well anywhere else. So they're like, all right, well, we're going to do a spinoff that's like mostly based on Resident Evil 2. Why don't we just call that Resident Evil 3 instead and then call this Code Veronica? That might be now incorrect. Kindafunny.com/you'rewrong.
Wives' tale. Yeah. I don't know, though.
Shinji Mikami might have come down and confirmed that was wrong. Right. But
Regardless,
it does make sense that they're going to move this on. A lot of people think that they share a lot of similar assets, but they don't.
Right.
I think it's nine rooms are exactly the same, but it does have
what's exactly the same?
Nine rooms in the game are exactly the same as Resident Evil 2.
Otherwise, Resident Evil 3.
Yeah.
Oh. Because the game I haven't played it in like a lifetime. So
Resident Evil 3 does take place in Raccoon City. It takes place during the evacuation of the city before the nuke goes off. So they do reuse a lot of assets.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the same rooms, but like if you wanted to reuse a wall, nobody would know.
Yeah, I mean, it is Raccoon City still. And like, honestly, I think that's good news for getting another game out quickly. I was thinking about that too. I'm like, dang, that's a quick turnaround. The only thing I will say about this story that I'm not so sure on yet is if Project Resistance is truly, you know, the next one in the spotlight.
Right.
And, you know, we don't know exactly how it's going to play out because it's like, what, co-op online, like...
Yeah, it's like asynchronous multiplayer where, like, one person is the monster. Mm. So, I guess, sort of like Evolve is the idea.
Yeah, I know, exactly, yeah. Right. But anyway, if their focus is on that, to have two Resident Evils in 1 year, I'm feeling this more for March, you know, February, March 2021. I'm just going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it is on track for 2020, and they'll tell the investors that for a while, too, but, like... I just feel like it's probably an early 2021 thing, especially when they decide to. They want it on next gen launch,
right.
Slash, you know, well, we need a little time to smooth things out. But,
I kind of wonder, like, if you're.
We don't even know if the game's real yet, so that's my deep conjecture.
If you're reusing assets from Resident Evil 2, you probably want to beat the new consoles out. You want to have something maybe in the summer. Because summer is a pretty decent time for Resident Evil. Like, Capcom was originally one of those companies that proved that you could sell games in the summer, so I can understand maybe them doing it. And also, like, they usually have a big Q1 game, and this year they don't.
Yeah, but we don't know when.
I know.
I don't. Coming out yet? And Resident Evil 2 did come about pretty quickly,
mm-hmm.
Although not in months quickly. But I don't know. We don't know what's up with Resistance, and it's not like in the main classic style, so it is kind of an aside. I was going back through, and I'm like, did they ever really release an original Resident Evil product on any year? I don't think that they did. No, I'm just looking at a quick glance at...
Wait, what do you mean on any year?
Two Resident Evil products in the same
year. Oh, two Resident Evil in the same
year. Like, legit, like, brand new, not like... I'm sure there was...
I'm sure there are some spinoffs
alongside.
Ultimate
Edition stuff, but, like, meaning... I'm looking through the timeline on Wikipedia, at least, and I was like...
And there are, of course, ports and all that, too.
Yeah, but I'm like, it doesn't happen, especially in mainline stuff. So, I don't know. Resistance is, like, a new aside, and I'm sure it's another team. So, it's not like the two... teams are, you know, I'm sure fighting for those.
In that vein, here's a theory I'm throwing out there. What if Resident Evil 3 or Resident Evil Project Resistance is part of Resident Evil 3? What if it's like this game's multiplayer mode? We tricked you the entire time,
and they're all the same. I mean, that'd be amazing. I don't know. That's a weird theory.
Because like that, the whole thing with Resistance is strange. The way they showed it off, the beta,
out of nowhere. I was hesitating though because I'm like, did they clarify it's a new SKU? And I feel like they did. And we know that it had been like born out of like the ideas of a long time ago, which was its own standalone game as well, right?
Right. There wasn't a game that was kicking around about a year and a half ago that I heard about that was like this, but it wasn't quite like it wasn't a Resident Evil game. So I'm kind of wondering from Capcom.
Oh yeah. Maybe
it's an Assassin's Creed multiplayer kind of thing of like, hey, we just had this other product that like somebody made. Mm. Like I think it was an indie game at the time that like Ubisoft was publishing or overseeing or whatever, and then it just bought it. And it's like, okay, well now this is the multiplayer to Assassin's Creed. I could see that happening with Resident Evil.
I mean, that would be awesome. I feel like, I don't know if like, you know, now that I look at it though, like thinking about it, it was just a CG trailer so far, right? And
there was a beta for Resistance.
There was a beta?
What? Either a beta sign-up or a beta that already happened. But
what? Did I miss? I don't remember seeing gameplay at all. But
I know I signed up for a beta.
What?
And they were like, no. And I'm like, I'm pressed.
Kind
and
of
like, okay.
/ you're wrong. Because I'm definitely, I'm like, I can't remember seeing any gameplay. But this year's been a blur.
Yeah.
But what I was getting, I don't think it doesn't like quite fit in with Resident Evil 3, right? I
mean, right.
Like but stylistically, it's like not... There didn't seem to be anything that pointed to it being in that timeline.
But from like a marketing perspective of, we don't know how to release this game a year after Resident Evil 2 that's very similar. What value add can we throw onto it for $60?
I mean,
and it's a multiplayer mode.
I would love that, but yeah, I'm doubting it based on everything that we've seen so far. But yeah, what if it was a marketing? They have done some unique marketing campaigns.
Yes.
That's for sure. So who knows?
So we're at Resident Evil 3 now in terms of remakes. One was a graphical overhaul, didn't really mess with the formula that much, but is well-loved. Everyone thinks like that's the definitive edition of Resident Evil 1. Two was a major overhaul in almost everything but theme and story. Three, we don't know yet, but I'm going to guess is following in the, you know, the footsteps of two. That means, theoretically, the next ones are going to be Code Veronica and Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, theoretically.
Theoretically.
And I would love it to see it just to jump to 4, but only because I'm impatient, not because I totally hate Code Veronica or anything like that.
I mean, Code Veronica's not super well-liked. Like, it has some issues.
Yeah, it definitely has some fans and not so many fans as well. But yeah, I'm just excited for us to get to a remake of 4. And I said that before, I think, when we were saying what's coming next. Will they go chronologically or not? This was a discussion on Gamescast. I think it might have actually been right before you got on. Mm-hmm. But we had the discussion. That where my mind was at. I was like, I'd love to see him just jump to 4, but they probably won't. You know, why wouldn't you just keep going down?
Yeah, if you could make the money, why not? But, on the other hand, like, Code Veronica was like, the reason we have 4 is because that game was not critically panned, but a lot of people were like, okay, we're kind of doing everything we can do with this formula right now. Mm-hmm. Like, let's move on to something else, which is why we ended up getting the different iterations of 4, because I kept feeling like it was too close to the old Resident Evil.
Right, yeah, and I was going to say that, like, redoing 4 is also, it's a much different task than doing, like, 3.
Redoing 4 like, is like you're making a Gears of War 5.
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, it'd be, they must be deep into talking about how they approach that. But yeah, to your point, like, Resident Evil 4 at the time was on, you know, the cutting edge of sort of what technology could do, but also the style that it offered. You know, it still kept the tank controls, but it was able to do action in this intense, like, standing in one place and shooting stuff, but actually it's still amazing. I love Resident Evil 4.
I've been playing it again recently. It still holds up.
It's awesome. And just like shooting limbs and heads and specific spots on the body is brilliant. So yeah, but you're right. Converting it is like, you think of the way that games are now and how good they've gotten, you know? Mm-hmm. And so being able to pull that off, it's going to take years. And so yeah, they're probably hard at work already at figuring that out, but I would guess, yeah, that's like 2022 or a ways out.
So you found...
You were right. Yeah, there is gameplay. I don't know why, like, I didn't remember seeing it.
It just, nobody talked about it. Like, it was in the beta. The beta might have been NDA.
It's not really,
like,
fun to watch.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Resistance footage. I'm just looking at it again.
I've heard it's not fun to play either.
Really?
But based on the beta.
Yeah, it's too early to say. Neither of us have played it, so...
Did I play it? No, I was going.
It must be really unremarkable if you played it.
I had an appointment that I got laid off, so I didn't play it.
Ah, yeah, it was then. I could understand you having a cloudy mind and all that. So that's fair.
But it was one of those things of like, this game looks like a thing, but I'm not. I don't know who's this game, like, Resistance is for necessarily. It's like, Resident Evil multiplayer spinoffs have not actually been all that successful.
Yeah, but and maybe that's a good recap. For those that didn't play 2, they did an amazing job of modernizing, you know, the... I don't want to... Archaic, I feel like, is too harsh a word, but, like, you know...
It's an old PS1 game. It's one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah,
PS1
It's a very
game.
Old game, yeah. A 20-year-old game, almost, or roughly, yeah, when Resident Evil 2 came out. So it's, like, everything from the camera to the way the puzzles worked and everything, it's just, like, they had to modernize a lot. But they did an incredible job and brought the intensity and, like, really, it's scary. Mr. X was awesome. And so they did such an awesome job. So meaning, like, whatever they do with 3, I have the absolute confidence. Like, putting aside, did you like the story and everything, like, that's now 20 years old or whatever, it's like, sorry, I just don't think it applies other than, you know, there's weapons in that game and enemies that we saw. But I think all of them convert to, it will be, I think, an awesome experience.
Yeah.
I can't see it not being just great based on what they did with 2.
Do you think they keep the same Jill Valentine design as the original game? Do you remember what she looked like in the Resident Evil 3?
Yeah, but I'm
like
trying
the halter
to like,
top and the
oh,
skirt
that's what I wanted. Will she be? Yeah, didn't she wear like a mini skirt and like a halter top?
Which like the reason was like it's summer in Raccoon City or something like that.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure they will modernize all that stuff as well. I bet you that outfit will absolutely be
unlockable.
100%. I mean, we saw that in 2 as well, right?
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's an iconic design. A lot of people really love it, but it's so weird for like that's the one.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm a member of STARS. Also, I'm wearing a strapless, like, halter top to fight monsters.
I'm sure they will still riff on it, actually. But, I don't know that a bright blue top makes a lot. That definitely seems more like an unlockable costume at this point.
Yes, I can definitely see it being, like, something that they have in the game, but it's not necessarily the main thrust of the marketing.
Yeah, exactly.
But I also see, like, they have the Mr. X technology now to, like, have him stalk you through the game.
Mr. X technology?
The Mr.
Is
X technology, yeah.
That's, like, a high-end technology,
but like,
that
he, like, you met him at like pre-existing things in the original game, and in like the remake, it's he's constantly just after you in certain parts.
Yeah.
So I kind of wonder if they do that with again with Nemesis. Like, again, Nemesis was like predetermined boss fights.
Yeah.
But here it's like, okay, well, what if he just always there in the game, always like in a real-time Raccoon City stalking through it?
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe they apply that in the same way and twist it up a bit. I mean, again, I have no doubt they've got all the tools at their disposal based on what 2 was. Like, 2 felt like it needed a second chapter, so to speak, of like, it's a solid experience, but it's not a super long experience. Yeah. Right?
And they kinda
but
like,
I think it's absolutely worth the price of admission, and like here we are. I feel like okay, now you're on to the next episode, so to speak.
2 didn't have do the A B scenarios as like the PS1 game did. And I probably think that's one of the knocks against it. But
what were the A B scenarios?
So A B scenarios were whichever version you play first will affect the second version.
Yeah.
So they didn't really
the second playthrough.
Yeah, they didn't really do that with the remake. They like did some things, but not a whole lot. Like
yeah,
the Claire
you could
and Leo
play
were
the
very
alternate story, and then I think there were a few things that changed, right? But it wasn't.
Yeah, but it wasn't like drain this thing or fill this thing up with water, and then the next person because it didn't make a whole lot of sense, but it was cool.
Yeah.
But I think maybe they'll probably do something like that with 3, just because they know that people were criticizing that with 2.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully. I mean, that would be awesome, especially a way to extend on. I know that was probably one of the biggest complaints, like I was getting at, was it wasn't a super long experience. But again, I was like, man, for the price of admission, I thought it was a great length and a ton of fun.
Yeah.
So, I don't know that I would want it to. It would, you know, a game's got to have a ramp, you know, and for the hours that I put in there, like, I don't know that I would want to double it, in other words, right? Like, I felt like I got enough out of Mr. X. I got enough out of the boss fights that were in there and my abilities and, like, you know, now we're moving on to a new part of the story, and like, I think that makes a lot.
I feel like this will be a nice stopgap until we get Resident Evil 8.
Yeah, and like that was a conversation and debate we had as well. Is like, do we think they'll do a remake before we get, you know, Resident Evil 8, which will probably be first person shooter or first person based, I should say, not a first person shooter. But now I think we have our answer based on the rumor. So it seems like, yeah, 8's farther out. It kind of makes sense, like, as we were talking about, right? Like, again, applying the model they took with 2, I think it turns pretty quickly into Nemesis, like RE3 pretty fast. Whereas doing 8, like, that's a whole new concept, all new worlds. And plus, like we were pointing out, too, it's like, well, who's working on 4? And how are we going to tackle that? And it's actually a really nice problem for Capcom to have. They know all this stuff's going to sell. They've got some past designs that they can work on and use a ton of ideas and assets. And then they can, you know, focus on new experiences like 8 as well. And 7 was well-received overall. So.
So Frankfurter writes in, says, good morning, Imran and Fran. Hot off the press of the rumor wheel is that we will have a Resident Evil 3 Nemesis remake next year, which, after the remake of 2, bodes well for us. However, it hasn't been a year since RE2 remake release, so I'm wondering if the new game will have been in the works for longer than we imagined, is getting the TLC it deserves, or if it's just going to be a rush job after the tasting of that sweet, sweet success. Thanks for all you do, Frankfurter. I would assume, if it's coming out, it came out long, or it's been in development for a couple of years at least.
Yeah, I have a feeling that once they made enough progress on 2, and it was like what I was getting at, it's like, wait, this works great, this model.
Right.
So let's get somebody else cooking on converting, you know, all these, you know, old ideas from 3 in the same way we've been working on 2. And like, again, I think it translates really easily.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it's very different. Like, what are you going to do for RE8? You know, it's a totally
different
conversation
that requires like a full team.
And even 4, right? Like, I feel like we made the comparisons that spell it out. It's like, if you had said the same thing of like, yeah, are they rushing RE4? It's already out next year. I'd be like, yeah, like how'd they take all that world? It's huge. There's so much in RE4 and convert it. Whereas like taking RE3 and doing the same treatment as 2 does not strike me as like, I mean, there's a ton of craft that goes into it. I don't want to undermine it, but like, it seems like it'll be an easier job. And so, yeah, I think probably been in the works for a few years in tandem. And that's like episodic, like almost like I pointed out, I feel like is the approach they took with this.
Yeah.
Is like that you could put them together into one big 40-hour experience, but they split it into a couple. And I think it's worth the price of admission.
Yeah. And like video game development's a weirdly fluid thing where as certain things in RE2 start winding down, you can start winding them up on other projects. So like, let's say the character modelers on RE2 are like, okay, well, we're done now. Where there's nothing really an issue that, like, as the game's polishing up, so where do we move on to next? It's like, okay, well, go make a Jill Valentine model or all that, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, normally you always have, I would say, a 6 to 8 month hopscotch between like you're getting at is this team is like mostly wrapping up. So yes. What are they moving on to? Usually within a year or 6 to 8 months, like that's going to happen anyway. So yeah, maybe it was extended a bit, but I'm not the least bit worried about it. I just can't see. It seems like they'll have plenty of time. Plus we don't know when it comes out. It could be the end of the year.
Yeah.
You said maybe summer. I'm like, I have no idea. I thought maybe it'd be early 2021.
I could see summer plus a release on PS5, Xbox too.
Mm-hmm. I'm still going to go with February 2021. This is just a rumor. It's not even real yet.
Yeah.
Will we see it at the Game Awards? Maybe.
Game Awards would be a good place to show it off, honestly. I had not considered it.
Yeah.
That would be a pretty decent way.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why the rumor's getting out the door, too.
Yeah.
Maybe some marketing folks are having their conversations, and even if it's in a small
circle. At some
point,
like, marketing materials have to start being
whatever
made.
Spawn Wave source is, which has been, you know, he's had a few...
he's had some good connections on things. I forget the last thing
maybe
he hit.
Maybe it's Jeff Keighley.
Maybe it is Jeff Keighley.
I'm sketchy. Jeff would never do that.
Were I Keighley, I would leak some things of like, hey, maybe this thing is going to happen at the Game Awards. Guess you should watch.
Yeah. That's true. But that's when he's promoting his own show. It's very different than giving it to somebody else.
Speaking of things that might happen, Final Fantasy XIV director wants to release the game on PlayStation. This is from IGN by Matt Kim. Final Fantasy XIV may be coming to PS5 during a fan event in the UK. Final Fantasy XIV director Naoki Yoshida referred to the PlayStation 5 version of the Square Enix's hit MMORPG, but the company itself is being a bit more coy about it than the game's director. According to people present at the UK event, Yoshida reportedly said that developers are hard at work on FF14 on PS5. However, when IGN reached out to Square Enix, the company said this is not a confirmation. While not a confirmation, Yoshida-san expressed a hope that Final Fantasy XIV Online may one day appear on the next generation of Sony's console. So even if there isn't official word of Final Fantasy XIV in the works at Square Enix right now, the game's director certainly seems interested in bringing the MMORPG over to Sony's next-gen console. Square Enix has been working on Final Fantasy XIV since 2010. In 2013, the company released A Realm Reborn, which revitalized the MMORPG, and since then, the company has released 3 expansions, each better received than the last. The most recent expansion, Shadowbringers, was released this year to critical acclaim. So, his exact quote, I went and bothered to look it up, is what Matt Kim does just say here, that the developers are hard at work on Final Fantasy XIV on PS5. That is, in my opinion, fairly unequivocal. And the company's like, oh, he just wants it to happen. It's like, no, you're lying.
Yeah, it seems like he slipped up.
Yeah.
Like, that's the confusing part. I'm like, how do you backtrack when, you know, a game director says that they're hard at work on it now, or on Final Fantasy XIV, if that's the exact quote. They're hard at work on Final Fantasy XIV or on PlayStation 5. But what does that mean? Does that mean it's confirmed? Does that mean they've been working on, like, the concept for the pitch to get it approved? And that doesn't happen. Like, and it seems like, you know, they slipped up and they're like, oh shoot, I thought we already talked about this.
Am I crazy, or at XO last week did they announce Final Fantasy XIV for Xbox One?
Don't remember.
I was on vacation last week and I looked at nothing.
Because that was a very specific thing.
I might be super crazy.
Yeah, I don't see any fresh news on that, so maybe you imagine that. Well, no, wait.
No, it looks...
It says it will finally come... I'm looking at VG247 right now. According to Phil Spencer,
November
15th. Will be coming in the future.
Sirens.
So he directly says
as
yes.
As far as we
coming.
Got with it.
Also, Sirens on Iran.
Yep.
So Phil Spencer says yes, the MMORPG is coming.
It sounds like that's the most we got of it. But so, anyway, he slipped up. And also, I don't think it's much of a stretch.
I think
if you're working on PS5, that's more what it's about. You're not supposed to be talking
Which
about
is insane
PS5.
To me.
Yeah, well, but everything goes through Sony until they do the big, big reveal.
Right, but it's
and
still
so
insane
that's
to
the,
me.
That's my guess is what the real issue is. They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We cannot, until the big reveal event is done, like, we can't be talking about
But
this.
To say, like, hey, okay, so people have already said we're working on PS5 games, just not third parties. So, like, Sony, Bluepoint.
Yeah, it's not like it doesn't exist. Like,
yeah.
Of course.
Bluepoint has said it. Guerrilla Games have said it. Like, we're working on PS5 games.
Yeah, but then when they release the montage of all the games that are coming to
but
it,
no one's
it takes
be like,
the air out of
holy
it.
Holy shit, Final Fantasy XIV.
No, of course not.
It's like, oh, right. Yeah,
it's
that makes sense.
It's not a stretch. I wouldn't guess for a second that it's not.
Yeah,
coming.
It's been on 2 other PlayStation consoles already.
Of course. I mean,
it just the secrecy surrounding new console launches has always been so weird to me.
Yeah, I think why am I saying again? All day today. I'm tired.
Those verbal tics, you can't get rid of them.
You can't. Once you start down that path, and you're just filling time on a slow news day.
That's I started saying like on six when I was 16, oh, and then I'm just done. Like that just ruined again. There, that ruined my life. Yes.
See, now you're all taking notes in chat. I'm sure you already were. Anyway, it's not a surprise to see this because I think the companies, you know, they want to put as much into the announcement. You spend so much money on it, so. Never mind that it's not that surprising that there's like half the games they show in that montage that are coming. It just, it wraps it up in one nice bow on the event. So I'm more interested when we're going to see the PlayStation 5 reveal. If it's, do we think it's still on track for like this? Everyone's guessing like the same type of PS4.
February is my
February
guess.
Reveal event. Like it is before the end of the quarter, fiscal year, Q4, the end of this one going into the next one. So probably, because like you know, there are financial reasons of why they pick these dates.
Yes, usually they want to end the quarter strong and like
get your stocks, you know, a little boost. Last of Us got delayed out of the fiscal year,
right?
So now you need a little bit of a boost just to keep everybody happy. And we already know it's coming holiday though, and who knows? Maybe that played into when Last of Us like was a like I don't know why it changed so quickly. That's another ball of wax that we've gone over before on the show. But hold on, this computer's like trying to like restart on me. But with Last of Us getting delayed, and it seemed like they came around and said, you know what, we're also going to be talking about PS5. So I think we have enough like, you know, irons in the fire.
Are you a big MMORPG guy in general?
I like them. I'm hesitating because it's just like I don't have time for them.
Yes, and that's
the
problem.
I specifically avoided World of Warcraft this entire time. I used to play like Ultima Online, and like, but I you hear this from other people too, so I know I'm not alone. I'm like, I know I like that type of game.
You're afraid you get a little addicted to it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So everyone's told me I should try out FF14, and I'm just like, I can't go near that right now. I can't keep up with like Destiny and Borderlands, and then I'm trying to finish like stuff like Death Stranding and Control and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order and all the stuff when it pops.
But so, you're listening like some MMO like things.
Them. I love them.
Yeah,
I'm so excited for even and it. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's an MMORPG. Diablo, you know, the next Diablo.
I guess
Diablo 4. Like it's
It struck me more Destiny-like, but I guess I know what you mean.
I don't know if it's massively multiplayer or not. Right, that's always the discussion. Like, wait, is it an MMO or is it just a shooter?
I mean, as the line continues to blur, like,
but love those types of games. So I know that I would like this game. I've heard it's got awesome improvements, and I actually know a ton of people in the Destiny community. Not that they're like the purveyors of MMORPGs, but like that love it as well. But meaning people that have similar game tastes.
I mean, Destiny Bungie just straight up calls it an MMO right at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Do you like these games? Did you play 14 at all?
So I played some 14. I like it, but the problem with me is that when I'm paying a subscription cost for a game, I always feel pressure to either be playing it or like that I'm not maximizing my time with it. So like if I'm playing another game, I feel bad that I'm not playing this game I'm paying for actively.
That's exactly it.
And like it could cost $1 a month and I'd still be feeling bad about it.
Yeah. Well, and it's because you sign up to be part of, just the experience and the community. And there's some. It's weird because like it's not even about the money. It's the commitment you made and standing by it as a gamer. That's what I would say.
It's not
even about the money. It's that I committed to doing this. Like obviously, I'm paying this every month, so I should probably check in on it. You know?
I think my perspective needs to change. Of like, I need to think of it like Patreon. Of like, even if I don't watch every show
listen
to all that stuff, I'm paying for the servers to be up in case I want to come back to it at some point.
Yeah, it's not a bad way to look at it.
Fran, we are 28 minutes into the show and we're all done with our news.
Yeah.
So I wrote here.
I keep looking. Yeah, if I'm glancing at the computer, I'm like, has anything broken during
the show? No, because it's the weekend before Thanksgiving. This nothing. Like next week's show are going to be shit shows as well. And we're going to think of something stuff.
Yep.
But because today I just could not think of anything else, I wrote as a headline, let's just fucking rank every notable Star Wars video game.
Yeah. And I told Imran, I was like, I can't do that. Like there's so many Star Wars games that I've not played and also that I barely remember, but I'm happy to be a bouncing board. And, you know, I have a few like favorites.
Oh my God, there's so many games.
Yeah.
There's not all of them. This is just the notable ones I picked out.
And the other problem you face is this is a video show and it's not like it's edited in post with like B-roll.
Yeah, no, we're
and
not
it's
doing
also
that.
A podcast.
Bro,
but meaning,
I get you,
are you
You want B-roll? I'll get B-roll in
there. No, but this is my question of like, are you going to read through every Star Wars game that you listed before we talk
also,
about them?
I can show them the list, too.
Yeah, at least Kevin can show you the list.
Okay,
that's,
yeah,
that actually is super helpful for
there
the
we
video.
Go. Look at that. There
see my
go.
Point? Woo, that'll help him out.
What
now,
we're
going to
do,
are we choosing
we're
going
to put like a plus or minus behind every game, whether or not we have positive feelings. And if it's just like, I don't know that game,
I didn't sign up
but that title is dumb. If you at home are looking at this list and you're like taking it at all seriously, stop. Because we're not. This is bullshit. We're trying to fill some fucking time.
Yeah.
So we're just going to go through the games and say whether or not you have positive feelings, memories, or reputation about it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start. Star Wars.
This was your idea. You're carrying this one. I had other ideas. This is
Star Wars 1983 Arcade. Never fucking played it. I've heard good things.
I'm pretty sure I played it. I just don't remember. So positive, though. Yeah.
Kevin, agree with the positive?
I've never played
What's
it.
What's this system?
Actually,
like,
let me look it up because I got
this is going to...
What?
Well, is this...
Fran,
to do a plus,
Francis?
To do a plus and minus on every game.
Fran
is,
Michael, you're thinking very hard about this.
All right.
This you looks cool, though. Oh, man. If this is... Let me see. Hold on. Look at this.
Podcast listeners are like, oh, God.
Well, they should be
doing?
Watching is what they should be doing.
Well, look
know,
at this. Both. We appreciate
like,
your
this
support.
This looks rad.
For a 1983
yes,
game,
I,
this
I
looks
have
fucking
played
awesome.
This, and it was great at the time.
Is
yeah.
it not good now?
Great.
No, this looks
so
cool.
So how does like, it rank yeah. against Fallen Order? Where are we?
This is we're not
above
yet, I guess.
Fallen Order.
Right now, we're going to put it as a positive.
Yeah.
Star Wars Masters of Terracotta.
Never played it.
You've never played it. Have you seen it at least?
Yeah, of course. I've seen all these games in trailers. I honestly can't remember all these games.
It was
a Star
Wars fighting game.
Yes.
Now,
I'm going to guess negative.
I don't remember. I would put this as negative. It is not a good fighting game or a good game or a good Star Wars game at all.
Dude, Darth Vader versus Boba Fett. We've all been thinking about it. Now we can finally see it.
Just play Soul Calibur and go play.
Yeah, honestly, if we're looking at fighting games with Darth Vader, or even games with Darth Vader, maybe I should have put Soul Calibur.
Yeah,
on
you
list,
really
actually.
Fudged
no,
it up, man.
You
should
no,
have put that
he
in
was
there.
Like a special character that wasn't even in every version. He was just in the what PlayStation.
That doesn't
version?
Matter. He existed in it.
Yes.
You could play it,
but that doesn't make it a Star Wars game. This is a list of Star Wars games. Don't
That's
try to
fair.
Fran this up. Don't try to that. Fran this up.
All right, we're putting a negative beside that one. Kinect Star Wars.
I'm bleeding internally going through this segment.
Kinect Star Wars, which is the one with the solo dance segment. I don't remember anything about it besides that.
You want me to pull it up?
I
or?
Honestly don't.
Honestly, no. It's a Kinect game. Who cares?
It's better this way.
We're putting a negative besides that.
Hey, not all of Kinect was bad.
Oh, man.
Dance
Just
Central
let me,
was all right.
Let me show you the thumbnail of it. Ready?
Remember, I reviewed Kinect Fitness.
Oh, do you fucking remember that Kinect reveal where that guy was faking playing Star Wars? Where, like, a Death Star was crashing into the screen and he was going, like, turning to the side?
No. No, I don't.
And it was like
see, I erase many of the bad memories of gaming.
Yeah,
this is Kinect Star Wars. We're looking at a racing segment that was in it. It's like pod racing segment.
We need to get a Kinect in here and play like the Dragon Ball game.
Wait, this wasn't a racing game, was it? Kinect Star Wars.
It seems like it had some racing aspects.
Skip ahead. Like, this is
yeah. I think it was like you hold the two things like one in each other.
Oh
man, you get to be a what the hell is this creature?
Are we moving this from negative to positive?
I think we have to.
Okay, we're moving this from negative to positive. All right, Yoda stories. I remember
Did you
playing.
Just give that a positive. All right.
Yeah.
You don't think it's worth a positive? Hold on. We can have a conversation.
I put a positive
I'm not here
for
to debate.
We're trying
I'm here.
To fill time.
You're doing a great job. You've got like 50 more titles to go through. I don't think you've thought this through at all.
Yoda stories was on desktop PC. It sucked ass. We're putting a negative beside that.
Excellent. Was that Windows 98?
Yes.
Probably came out in 97.
I remember playing it on my like Windows 95 compact Presario.
Oh, man. I. Looking at the gameplay, it's like, yeah, this looks like it sucks.
It does suck.
See, this would make a great segment with B-roll.
We
Kevin,
have
you're doing a good
we're
job.
We're doing B-roll,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm supporting what he's doing. It's helping it's tremendously.
Just, oh, wow.
Man,
video producer in me is, like, tweaking out. I'm sorry.
That Luke sprite is, like...
This can't be real.
Can we... Is that
this
the thumbnail?
Like,
I think that's the thumbnail.
Yeah, so this is Yoda Stories,
you
1997
use this
on Windows.
Yes, I do want to use that Luke sprite.
It looks like it was inspired by, like, Zelda and Final Fantasy, you know,
It looks like a bad RPG
then.
Maker game.
There's so,
but,
much,
yeah.
there's so much detail on his face compared to the rest of him.
This doesn't look so good.
Oh,
they
God,
have,
that,
like,
that's,
big heads.
That Ewok. Oh, my God.
I like it. I dig it.
Oh, that guy in the corner.
Let's give a negative
Fantastic.
To that one and move on.
Yeah, we're just picking that. Star Wars Rebel
Assault. We're going to find out that back some that probably was like some tremendous accomplishment.
No, it wasn't. I played it.
1997, I know.
Okay. Rebel Assault, which came out on...
We had Super Metroid by then, you know?
Yeah, Rebel Assault 93. I don't remember it being great. I remember it being cool.
Let's go with a plus then.
Let's go with a plus. Rebel Assault 2. If Rebel Assault 1 is a plus, then probably 2, for sure.
Because that's how gaming works.
That's how video games work, friend.
The sequel's always great.
Yeah, sequel's always better because it's the same thing, but more.
It's definitely
Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. I think, Kevin, when you were talking to me earlier, this might have been what you were referring to.
And I love this game.
I thought that was the pod racing one. It's not.
No, pod racing is on here, I think. But this was a third-person Phantom Menace game. I recall playing this.
I'm just waiting for you to get to the Rogue Squadron stuff.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Good.
Let's give this a plus, because Kevin liked it. Jedi Power Battles. That was it was also a third person, but it was like mostly a final fight-ish perspective, like a side-scrolling perspective. I recall it sucking, so let's give it a minus. Bounty Hunter.
See, I must have played
Bounty Hunter gets two pluses.
Two pluses? We're giving it two pluses.
Hell yeah. I love Bounty Hunter. Did I try to replay it, and the controls are absolutely terrible? Yes. Yes, they are.
Bounty Hunter, it came out a couple of years ago on PS4, too.
Yes, it came out with the,
like PS2 on PS4, backwards compatibility kind of thing.
I got it with, there was a limited edition, Star Wars-themed PlayStation that had that on it.
Okay, yeah.
And it was great. It was terrible, but,
Yeah.
No, it still exists, but I loved
thus
it.
Plus.
Okay. It still had strafing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but back then, that's that totally...
I understand.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you
Let me
out?
Know if there's any videos you want me to pull up.
We're probably going to get Episode 1 Racer just because it's cool. Star Wars Arcade, I'm going to give it a minus.
No. I did like Star Wars Arcade.
Really?
Yeah. It was great at the time. That's the one where you get into a lightsaber battle with Darth at you do get into a lightsaber battle and so, right? That's the one with the control, that's the lightsaber and everything on it?
I don't know.
Don't fucking remember.
I'm pretty sure it is.
No, all right.
And it was great.
We're giving it a plus.
It is.
Episode 1 Racer, which is, I think, up until honestly, fairly recently, probably the best Star Wars game.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now. Totally. Sorry. Star Wars Arcade. I was making sure I remembered correctly.
Is this what you're talking about?
Yeah. Pod racing game.
Is it N64?
Yeah, it was N64.
Yeah.
Windows, PC, PC and Dreamcast. This game rocked. I don't know what it,
Man, pod racing, they go fast.
Yeah.
Right? capture
those are that. Kilometers per hour.
Yes.
I recall this being it was all right. It wasn't a stinker. And it was cool. And I think at the time it was they took the best thing out of episode.
If you're mining
Phantom
Menace for a game, this is the logical game
I'm
to
sorry,
pull from it.
Are you saying the pod racing was the best thing in Phantom
Menace? Oh, no.
Not the best. It was one of the best things.
Okay. Wait, what is
it?
What is the other best
scene,
thing?
The last
the Duel of Fates.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yes. Fair. Can someone on
Amazing.
You're Wrong answer me whether Watto is in this game? Because that might deserve a plus-plus.
He better be in that game.
I know Sebulba is.
I say the racer gets a plus-plus because I remember being a lot of fun.
We call Watto himself. We have connections. You know?
Star Wars Trilogy Arcade. I don't remember it.
Oh, see, that's the one I was thinking of. Is that...
God damn it, Fran.
That's the one I
was
thinking of.
Yeah, the video you showed me, it would have been a 98 game, not a 93 game.
Yeah, sorry. I was thinking of a Trilogy Arcade. I don't remember a regular Star Wars Arcade.
Yeah, we'll give that one a plus. This is the
Sega one I was thinking about. You get into a lightsaber battle, but you also fly around and TIE Fighter and all stuff.
Yeah.
It was good. I mean, again, not a brilliant game, but for an arcade game, it was cool.
Yeah,
to,
I remember
stop
playing
and play
this.
This is the movies. It was the lightsaber thing that stuck out to me.
Man, we've come
sorry,
so
that's
far.
Star Wars.
Oh, look at you.
This is basically Jedi Fallen Order right here.
It's basically the makings of. Hey, man, all of these games influenced each
I
other.
I love Boba
absolutely.
Fett's thing of maybe this time he won't block it.
So, again, for those listening, it not only had racing and reticle-based shooting, but it also had some lightsaber mechanics because you used the joystick. I swear it had an actual lightsaber you would use.
Don't give those people that are just listening little
Kevin,
extra.
You guys are the worst.
You know what I mean? They should be watching. Look at your hair. It looks beautiful.
I mean, they should tune in.
Look at that.
Speaking
I did a little blowout today.
You certainly did. We see it, buddy.
Speaking of movie theater Star Wars experiences, the Star Wars Battle Pod. Have you seen one of those at least?
No.
You've never been to a movie theater arcade and seen that
Oh, no,
pod.
I've seen it.
Yes.
I'm sure I've played it, too.
Wait, have you? I've never played it. I've always wanted to, and it's just one of those things that, like, I've never had the quarters when I needed them.
It's the quarters, and, like, most of the machines you used to go to are, like, just fucking broken. But it is pretty cool, so I'm going to give it a plus.
Yeah, this game, this looks great. I have not played it.
Oh, this is like someone with a GoPro on their head.
Oh, wow. This is the right video, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got, like, the it has, like, the curved screen on it.
Yes.
Fuck, I'm going to go to
I feel like I have tried this.
I wanted to buy this thing, honestly, but it's, like, $75,000.
Yeah, no, it is not cheap. Yeah. It's using really cool
Maybe
projection
if it was 60K,
technology.
You know? Yeah. It's either that or the Tesla truck, you know?
Skip ahead of it. Let's see, like, what this gameplay is. Decide.
No, this looks
cool.
This looks incredible.
This is a Namco Bandai game as well, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Namco Bandai. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I actually really like when you say it that way.
Namco Bandai.
But I like giving you shit.
Namco Bandai. Anyway, that's a plus.
This is cool. This is fucking cool.
Oh, he's going to hit the roll. That's exciting stuff.
Why is this not on VR? What?
Oh, dude, that's a good idea.
That's a great call.
Yeah.
It would take a lot of work.
You didn't think he was
going to
hit the rock there?
Yeah, I thought he was.
Yeah, it was cool. I'm sorry I got all worked up.
All right, let's go to the SNES game, Super Star Wars.
No, I hate these games.
Definitely.
You hate them?
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. That, like, they're so incredibly hard and poorly designed. Where it's like, oh, you have to jump perfectly on this thing.
You know what? I agree with you. Those games are way too fucking hard. Mm-hmm. But I might give it a Return of the Jedi because that last Darth Vader fight's pretty cool. I might give that one a plus.
I don't remember.
All right. I put an equal sign, but...
That, you know what? That's probably the right sign to put on. All right. Everything? Just put an equal sign next to everything.
Star Wars Shadows of the Empire, the 96 to N64 game.
This game was not necessarily met with, like, broad love.
It was really
recall,
well anticipated.
I really liked it because, like, it was one of the only things you could play at the time.
You were Dash fucking Rendar.
Yeah. And, I mean, you didn't care about it, I assume you're...
No, I was like, oh, it's another guy that's like Han Solo.
This.
I didn't either. I never read the books. So I was like, it's a cool gunslinger in the Star Wars universe. Wow, this game looked worse than I remember.
But yeah, I was going to say, I recall it having issues, and all, but I liked it as a fan. Yeah, this does not look good at all.
On the other hand, like...
It's terrible.
You can just, like...
Hey, he's fighting Slave 1, though.
Get in first person and shoot Wampas in the face.
Yeah.
You jump somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, look, this game definitely was not remembered as being any good. Look at all the frame rate issues, everything.
I mean, it's an N64. It's a launch N64 game.
As a kid, and it was Star Wars, I was still excited to check it out.
Yeah.
So
I remember
it had,
like
enough...
Plus it is.
But there was nothing to play.
Yeah, let's give it a plus.
So you gotta, like, you gotta compare it with the time.
I mean, granted, any game that comes after Mario 64 is gonna look worse.
Yeah, like if you're ranking stuff based on does it hold up today, that's...
No, absolutely not. So. Star Wars The Force Unleashed.
Fucking amazing game, right? Yeah.
You know what's sad is I...
Here's what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
When you get, like, I can't remember, there's a point in it where you're in, like, a dock of, like, a Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
And you can pull the TIE fighters out and, like, throw them.
Oh, dang.
So
really?
Cool. That might be Force Unleashed 2, but, like, they both had, like, I remember Force Unleashed 1 felt way more linear.
Mm-hmm. Force Unleashed 1 has the better intro, though, where you're playing as Vader on Kashyyyk. And just, like, killing all those Wookiees.
Yeah, and you find him. That's right. Man, that was cool.
That was so fucking cool. I wanted to give it a plus just for that, honestly. Like,
they're both pluses because they were still able to, in some capacity.
You felt like it had
give
the
us
force.
That Jedi. Yes. Yeah.
And it's
know,
one
feeling.
Of
the, it's like the total opposite of Jedi Fallen Order that way.
Right, yep.
Like, those games felt like they're... If Platinum made a Star Wars game, it would be that kind of, like, just use your Force, whatever. Just fucking pull Death Stars out of the sky. Or not Death Stars. Star Destroyers out of the sky.
Death Star, well, dang. That's a lot of Force power.
I mean, Star Destroyers, equally stupid.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. But at the same time...
You just fly your ship through them.
Did you ever hear the, what... God, what was the names? Kevin, do you remember what George Lucas wanted to call Starkiller originally?
No, but it wasn't Starkiller the original last name for Skywalker?
But in a meeting, it was like the developer said, like, George Lucas came to the meeting and he had these names. And Darth Icky, that was it.
Icky. Huh.
He wanted to call him Darth Icky, and they thought it was a joke.
Thank God they were able to control that.
All right. Yes. So we got a couple of strange names here. Battlefront for the 2004 PS2 game.
Again, I was all right with it at the time, but not like, yeah, I mean.
Battlefront 2.
Two pluses, buddy.
Two
it's
pluses.
Funny 'cause it's so binary.
I
it's like, was it okay? Yeah, sure. I was fine with
but
it.
But, like, that's all it has to be, Frank. Yeah.
And because EA sucks at naming Battlefront 2015.
Battlefront was a lot of fun. I feel like there was a lot of negativity attached to it because it didn't have a story mode.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I played more Battlefront, I think, than Battlefront 2.
I just realized this list isn't chronological, too.
Not
That's
at all.
That's why my brain broke.
I literally just picked, like, whatever. I went down the Wikipedia list and was like, this is really complicated, and picked notable games. Again, if you're at home taking this seriously, don't. Battlefront 2 2017, the game that started the loot box controversy. Let's talk about holistically, like, with the multiplayer and the single player.
Here's the
thing. Yeah, I actually thought it was all right. I've said this before. I know some people like hated it because of the way they approached Star Wars and the characters and stuff. But I was like, for using the dice engine and what it was, again, it was all right. I'll take it.
Yeah.
But it's no Fallen Order, you know, in my opinion.
But Brian, is it a plus?
Yeah, it's a plus. There's a lot of people who do not like that.
How do you feel about Kevin?
Honestly,
it's got multiplayer.
I didn't play too much of it, and what I did play, like the story mode, I think I played like maybe half. I know that the story isn't very long.
It's very arcadey. Like.
Yeah, yeah, but like, I mean, I had a decent enough time. I wish I had given the multiplayer like way more time, because like it felt like they had tightened some stuff up and it was fun.
Yeah, I mean, they kept improving on it. I mean, but it's not.
They had a lot of issues, like a lot. I think it's a plus.
Not. It's not
we'll
a
give
bad
it a plus.
Game.
Yeah.
It may not be an amazing Star Wars game, and almost all Star Wars games are not amazing Star Wars games. That's why this list, it's like everything's actually like, yeah, it is. Yeah, it's the equal sign or it's the divide sign. It's not either.
Divide for divisive.
You're like, I don't know. You know,
this is an interesting one because I've never played the Old Republic games.
I have seen enough of it that I think it's cool. But I know that they had to rehaul it or overhaul it at some point.
No, Old Republic's a plus.
Yeah, just everything being voice acted for MMORPGs is a cool thing to begin with. Also, why they couldn't update it as quickly as they needed to.
I can handle the Rogue Squadron stuff. By the way, you didn't put Battle for Naboo on here. That's okay.
I saw
that was
it
like
and I'm
the
like,
sequel to Rogue Squadron, and it's actually a plus. So I can handle these easy. Rogue Squadron plus, Rogue Squadron 2 minus, Rogue Squadron 3 plus. Because Rogue Squadron 2 is the one that they mistakenly tried to do, like putting you on the ground and. Not great. So
wait, Rogue Squadron 2 you're saying is bad. Okay, yeah, I'm fine with that.
That was the mess up. That's where they screwed it up.
Rogue Squadron Regular is fantastic and probably one of the best games on the GameCube.
Oh yeah, it's phenomenal.
So we're giving
you're saying Rebel Strike.
Double plus.
I'm saying Rogue Leader. Rogue Leader was the GameCube launch game.
Yeah. Wait. Sorry. I'm actually saying now I'm mixing it up. Maybe was it Rebel Strike that put... When did they put
Rebel Strike is when they put you on the ground.
Sorry, yeah, I had it backwards. Yes. That's what I was intending to say. Is it was Rebel Strike, the follow-up to... Rogue Leader was incredible.
Yeah, Rogue Leader is the...
That's what I meant to say. What I was getting is the second one on GameCube. That's not... No
yeah. Game. So we're going to give that a minus?
Yeah.
Okay.
X-Wing. I mean, the flying was still fine. Yeah. It's just like overall, it was like... Rogue Leader at the time was just like incredible. So.
X-Wing, I'm going to say, is a really good game. It was like a Star Wars PC flight simulator. One of the, up until a certain period of time, probably the best Star Wars
super
game.
Super influential.
And
well.
That period of time was right up until fucking TIE Fighter. TIE Fighter is, I think, the best Star Wars game.
Still now.
15 years later.
Let's see if any one of you wrongs me on that bullshit.
All right. I mean, I think it's hard to argue a 15-year-old game that.
Do you want me to pull it
DOS
up at all?
If you want to, like it's a cool ass game, but it's like it was the first game that lets you play from the Empire's perspective, and like you would be doing like, what's the word I'm looking for? Conflicting orders for various people. So like, well, this would be good for the Empire,
like
but this is good
stuff,
for the Emperor.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the actual gameplay?
Well, we know it's a plus.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but I'm trying to see
go,
what it looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, go pretty deep
Whoa.
Into it. Keep in mind, it was a DOS game.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I understand that.
This is vector graphics.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool to see this stuff, though.
Yeah, like you got to play as
TIE
bombers.
Hey, we wouldn't
be
where we are today without this stuff, man. Yeah. Again, that's why it's like, depending on how you rate the list, like, yeah.
I'm pretty sure this is on sale on GOG now.
Plus or minus is a pretty good way, I think.
Yeah, I love where we're at with this right now.
All right. X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. You know what?
5 a.m.
Probably not great. X-Wing versus TIE Fighter was multiplayer focused for the most part. I think they ended up patching the stories in. But
I would call that being a plus.
You'll be giving a plus? Okay.
You just give TIE Fighters 3 pluses?
I gave TIE Fighter 3 pluses.
Yeah, there's a multi.
Great.
You're not
I
keeping up,
it.
Kevin. There's a multi-plus system.
No,
that's
I figured
been,
it out
yeah.
now.
Yeah, it's been developed.
X-Wing Alliance, I'll just give a plus. Like, it was a good sequel, but not necessarily like a better one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jedi Knight and Jedi Knight 2. Wait, did
Wait.
I put these in the wrong? Yeah, no, I put these. No, these
you're
are
saying
fine.
Jedi Knight Jedi 1 and 2. It's confusing because they have subtitles Jedi Outcast and Jedi Academy.
Yeah, and they're releasing
on top
years,
of like, you know them being Jedi Knight.
You know what? They're both good games. Let's give them pluses.
Yeah, I mean,
they're good boys. Star Wars Republic Commando 2005.
I think 2 might have been better or something than 1 in that case, but. Republic Commando.
That was the
I
when
liked.
You're like clone troopers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked Republic Commando.
It was a good game. Let's give it a plus.
Yeah. It looks cool.
All right. Dark Forces. I don't recall the original being great. Dark Forces 2 was good.
I didn't play Dark Forces. Pretty sure. Did not.
We'll give it an equal sign.
We developed a new rating system.
Right. Dark Forces 2 was good. We'll give that a plus.
This list makes me realize how uninformed on the Star Wars games I am.
You have so much to do over winter break now,
yeah,
friend.
I have so much to play.
Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Great game.
That's plus? Like that's a quadruple plus.
We're giving it a quadruple
despite
plus.
Despite the awful frame rate.
So now we're adding, I didn't know we had this many plus signs.
I mean, you gotta keep up.
We're breaking the glass ceiling, Kevin.
We did Bounty Hunter is all I'm trying to say. When we rated Bounty Hunter, I didn't know there were this many options for the pluses.
I honestly don't remember KOTOR 2. I'm gonna assume it's still a plus, though. I don't know how many pluses.
KOTOR 2 was the one that was kind of unfinished because Obsidian did not give it enough
time. Sequels can go. Yeah,
I went up and I gave Bounty Hunter another plus. So we raised our Bounty Hunter ranking one plus.
And now we're at Fallen Order.
I'm going to give KOTOR just one plus.
That's fine.
It's been a week.
Yeah, I'm going to go with two pluses.
Two pluses.
Yeah. You know, we talk about it on Gamescast this week for a good, 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So check out the latest episode, which is out for everybody on Monday.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. But, man, I think I was... Well, Greg and I
we're giving this the most pluses.
The most pluses?
I fucking love this game right now.
I'm going to take Kevin on faith. Because I'm kind of iffy on it right now, but he convinced me that I think there's, I'm
there's
just around the,
that you're around the corner. Yeah.
It was cool to hear you talk because I was like, oh shit, I was there. I was where you were.
Kevin,
I'm excited for you to.
The reason
keep
I gave it two plus because of how that table went. I felt like Tim and Imran were like, yeah, you know, I like it. It's cool. I like it. But Greg and
I think Tim
and
really
me especially,
it.
I'm over the moon about it, despite it absolutely has some flaws to it. But man, what a cool game. And thank God, because that's the thing with this list. And this is why it's most relevant and why, you know, smart that you brought it up. But just Fallen Order just is such an accomplishment amongst all these Star Wars games that's made. You can love or hate some of these issues, you know, the camera issues. And, it has glitches on the console that need to be fixed and stuff like that. But it's still, from a core game design, it is just awesome.
Yeah.
I don't like the tone that you bring up consoles in. That's all I'm saying.
Does it not have issues that it...
It has some edges that need to be roughed out or... Like,
I played on PC.
Buffed out.
I mean, I wouldn't know. I had a fairly flawless tech experience.
I'm looking forward to a sequel for that game greatly.
Yeah. 60 frames a second family out here.
But a sequel to Jedi Fallen Order is so far away, Fran. If I wanted to know what's coming to the mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Show Games Daily show host each and every weekday. I tried to go off script, and I get it sometimes.
Mm.
Anyway.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Yeah. Out today, Narcos Rise of the Cartel is out on Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
Lost Ember is out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Debris is out on PS4. Sniper Ghost Warriors Contracts out on PS4, Xbox One, PC. Civilization VI is out on PS4 and Xbox One. Tiny Gladiators is out on Switch. Marvelous Animals is out on Switch. Kings of Lion, or Lorne, sorry, The Fall of Ebris is out on PC. Green, The Life Algorithm is out on PC. Fear the Unknown is out on PC. My Haunted Doll is out on PC. Beat School, DG Simulator is out on PC. Brass Brigade is out on PC. And Stretch is out on PS4. Deal of the day, the PSN Black Friday sale starts today. It has a bunch of good deals. I would just check it all out if you're interested. Like, I just perusing the list, Ace Combat 7 is $30, Borderlands 3 is $40, Persona 5 is $10, Sekiro is $38.99, Devil May Cry 5 is $19, Resident Evil 2 is $19, Monster Hunter World is $15. You could catch up on pretty much every good Capcom game this year for under $60, honestly.
By the way, the title Green, The Life Algorithm is surprisingly high action, old school 2D platformer.
I would have assumed
with,
simulator.
Kind of a cool, it's definitely, it's not that. This is not well named.
Yeah, go
it's
ahead.
It's got an old school, I don't want to say Yeah, I mean, it's a little Super Metroid-y in games of that time. So.
Have you played it?
No. I just pulled it up because I was like, what is this simulator? It's nothing like you would think. Yeah.
I like that design.
Yeah. It actually looks pretty good. It's coming to PS4 as well. So.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's already out. So. Just FYI, you never know with this list sometimes. I like to do that as poll.
Sometimes you just want to like...
You know me. I,
the last couple like days, there's been like, there's been like names of like Borf and Bahamut and whatever. And I'm like, every time I laugh out loud.
Yeah. All right.
So speaking of laughing out loud, we're going to get to some reader mail, which you can get in by going to... Or you can write into patreon.com/kindoffunny games, where you can get the show ad-free as well and get your question maybe right on the air. But before we do that, Fran, we got to talk a little bit about Third Love.
Sponsors.
Nearly all the kind of honeys are using Third Love bras, and it's time to find out why. Number one, perfect fit. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz, designed bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and a premium feel. Number two, more sizes than most other brands. Third Love offers more than 80 sizes, including their signature half-cup sizes. Number three, convenience. Skip the trip. Find your fit with Third Love's online Fit Finder, order and try on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to test. If you don't love it, return it. And Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. Fit stylists are available every day to help via text, chat, or phone. Returns and exchanges are easy and free, and they have a lot of comfort and quality. Hands down, the most comfortable bra you'll own, with straps that won't slip and tagless labels. No itching, they're lightweight, super thin memory foam cups mold to your shape. Third Love donates all their gently used return bras to women in need, supporting charities in the local San Francisco Bay Area and across the United States. So far, Third Love has donated $15 million in bras. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone, so right now they're offering my listeners 15% off the first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games to now to find your perfect fitting bra. Get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today. We're also brought to you by Quip. I love brushing my teeth because of Quip, because they taught me I was doing it wrong. Quip, makers of the Quip electric toothbrush, wants you to know what one single discovery matters the most for your dental care. It's simply this, that if you have good habits, you're good. That means brushing for 2 minutes, twice a day, and flossing regularly, no matter what brand you use. Quip makes that simple. Starting with an electric toothbrush, reliable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste, Quip's electric toothbrush has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to give a full and even clean. The Quip floss dispenser comes with a pre-marked string to help you use just enough. Plus, Quip delivers a fresh brush head, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months with free shipping, so your routine is always right. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games. That's getquip.com/games. Quip is the good habits company. We're also brought to you by Upstart. Most of us have found out the hard way. Getting into debt is easy and getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers you smarter interest rates to help you pay off your high-interest credit card debt. Greg needed this when he first moved here. Upstart goes beyond traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you, and they understand that. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes. The best part? Once a loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. The next day. Over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate will only take a few minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Games. Games. We got a question in from 2038 Pokemon CEO. With the upcoming release of PS5 and Xbox Scarlet, when do you think Sony and Microsoft will shut down the stores on PS3 and Xbox 360? Nintendo turned off the Wii eShop early this year, with people remembering the best games and live streaming the server shutting down. Will we see a similar heartfelt goodbye?
I'm sure at some point. It's funny because I don't care about it personally. It is always a bummer, though, when you hear about it and you're like, dang, I should have bought whatever. Mm-hmm. There's always something on there. You're like, oh, you can't get access to that. But frankly, all the good stuff should come to these stores on PS, you know, 4 and 5. And right. So any of the good stuff, it shouldn't matter as much. But sometimes yeah. there are, you know, there's... yeah, I knew that was like with eShop especially. There was like some good like ports and stuff like that that were not... They were only available on like that moment in time.
Right. But like I assume Microsoft will try and keep them open because they do have a business and like all your generations of Xbox are available on this system.
Yeah.
So it behooves them to keep the Xbox 360 store open.
Mm-hmm.
Sony is a bit more complicated because they are... With the PS3 was a mess in terms of... forward-thinking architecture.
Mm. All right, calm down.
I mean, it was like that cell processor made it so backwards yeah. compatible with the PS3 is not easy.
We're supposed to see the future, okay? They were trying.
Hey, the cell was
they did try.
Powerful. It was trying to get people to figure it out.
Like, yeah.
We had to go to Ken Kutaragi's house.
And God, he said some real shit. But yeah, they did not do a great job of making sure all that stuff would be forward
right,
compatible.
Just the way it ran, all the way the games had to be coded, as well as like even just the infrastructure at the time of the store and stuff, probably. But.
So like I could feasibly see a situation where they shut down that PS3 store someday.
Yeah.
Like honestly, right now, like
interesting question,
they shut down the PS Plus stuff for it already. Like I think Vita's also shut, but that's still not the store, but the PS Plus part of it.
Here's what I want to know, Pokemon CEO. What is it on there that you're most concerned about? I'd love to hear that. You know, what is it that you're looking for?
There are a few games that, granted,
I don't think he's looking for anything in particular. I'm just saying, like, people get upset when that's the
that was my point, though. Let's lay it down and be like, what is it on there that you are interested in keeping up?
I mean, there's
just like having options. Sorry,
yeah.
Emra.
Yeah, you know, you want to have, like, all the options. But, like,
Scott Pilgrim is an example, but that game was taken off by the license holders.
I'm sure there's some stuff. Yeah. I just mean...
But, like, the Wii one was actually a bummer because, like, there's a bunch of shit that was on the WiiWare that is never coming anywhere else.
And that was different, too, right? Because the Wii had... Didn't it have, like, built-in hardware to help with some of that emulation? I thought that it did. I thought, regardless, they built some awesome emulator stuff for the Wii hardware, right. And that's...
But even, like, the original games, like, Castlevania Rebirth and Contra Rebirth are examples of games that are never going to get ported elsewhere.
Yeah, true. That's true. And if you didn't buy them at a time, like, that's that.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking the other day, like, well, granted, now it's not a big deal because Rondo of Blood is on PS4, but, like, if I wanted to play the original version of Rondo of Blood, it's only on... Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. It sucks to be
only,
like, oh, I'd love to try that. It's like, well, it was digital only, and so it's gone. Mm-hmm. Which is just, that's the problem with the medium. But
Hey, Imfran, Next Generation seems to be shaping up to be similar to today's entertainment industry. All about the subscriptions, baby. What's also weird is that Xbox is continuing to make the push away from home consoles by making their game available basically everywhere and with little buy-in to use xCloud. This is from Nanobiologist, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we declare a winner of the generation when Xbox console sale numbers will clearly be less than normal because they're going to be much more prevalent everywhere else? Can we just compare apples to oranges between Xbox, Sony, and Nintendo? Or with Xbox being so accessible, will people move away from the notion of a winner and have fun playing games again for the sake of fun? Thanks, Nanobiologist. I think, I mentioned this on Games Daily a couple of days ago, but I think the idea of the horse race is over. Like, this sold the most units, thus is the market leader. Because, like, let's say you're making a game for Xbox One. Mm-hmm. You're probably also making it for PC.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft considers it a win regardless of where you buy it. So, like, install base-wise, you're looking at an install base that's probably bigger than the PS4 and Switch. So, it makes sense that, like...
Wait. Between what?
Between PC and Xbox One.
Well, PC as
yes.
a whole, but not of all the things that Microsoft publishes.
No, that's what,
like meaning if you're going to count...
If you're on Windows, it's a win for them.
Yeah, but not in the same way as licensing an Xbox game.
It's not the same...
It's absolutely different revenue. I get
right,
the point you're making,
yeah.
But meaning if you're going to count, I would just say, well, you've got to count stuff that is exclusively published by those companies and sold by them.
So something they get a licensing fee for is what you're saying.
Well, no, I would actually say only if you're doing the horse race thing, mm-hmm. the people who make hardware, Stadia is going to be interesting to figure this part out. I think that's where it gets interesting. But you could count the hardware that's been sold, and you can count all the game sales from the stuff they're publishing that's new. every year, right? How many new games did Sony publish and release, not distribute or license, and also how many consoles did they sell? So when they sell 6 million copies of Days Gone, and they sell, you know, a million God of Wars, and they sell a million PS4s this year, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's very relevant still to declare a winner for now.
Right.
But I definitely get the point. There's going to be this percentage of people that just buy Gears of War 5 on the phone. Right. But, again, I think it's easy to count. It's published by Microsoft, and it's sold on the phone, so you're still counting the sale. And so I feel like you can still do it pretty easily.
You still have a horse race, is what you're saying.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that between Microsoft and Sony, it's still very relevant. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a reason why Microsoft just bought up all those studios, too. If there was no horse race, then why would you...
Well, because they had no first-party studios. Really.
But the point is, they're making more money on the stuff they publish and so on. So, yeah, it's just a little harder to make the spreadsheet, but I have the utmost confidence. And you could say the same about Google Stadia. Their model's different. We're still figuring out if they're trying to sell advertising around the platform or something. Like, we don't know. Yeah. How are you making money in the long run as Google?
Google Stadia is a big question mark. Yeah.
But we know that it's not about selling... Well, I don't know if it's about selling Chromecast. I don't think that it is. It's more about signing up for their services and using, who knows.
Being in the Google ecosystem is how they
exactly. Yeah. But my point, they are going to have some published games. And so when you do like that horse race and include them, I think it's pretty, you can count sales of, you know, the Chromecast. That one's going to be the weird one.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to have to count like Google sales.
Or just none of it matters, honestly. Like, well,
that is
that's
ultimately
thing.
The truth. It's what really matters is if like Google Stadia has a killer app and game and you can easily play it, then awesome. We all just win. I don't care who won the, you know what I mean?
Right.
If they have their own version of what God of War was for PS4, I really don't care about all these other, you know, minor gripes and well, Nintendo does it best because
I mean
that is the difference today. Is like I'm not a kid anymore and I don't have to choose one console. But also things have become more available, like we're saying, and like, it's just awesome to have options as a gamer and not have to, you know, we'll see. Will you have to buy a PlayStation 5 to play God of War 2 or whatever it is?
I'm gonna assume you are at least at the beginning.
But on like, Xbox platform, you may not have to do that.
Right.
Seeming
that's
like,
one thing they
War 6, you won't, which is
they see those things differently. Microsoft sees it as like it's an absolute win for us if you just play Gears of War 5 or 6 or whatever.
Right.
But Sony's like, you better fucking buy a PlayStation or wait 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rumor today that PS Plus, the next PS Plus game is God of War. I'm gonna be interested to see if that's true.
Interesting. By the way, do you agree with any of I said? Am I talking crazy or
do you think I agree with you that yes, you can still empirically measure it.
But you think it's just over?
I think the emphasis on it is long gone. Install base still matters, but it's going to matter less and less.
Take it to Reddit and see what happens. If it's over, then Xbox versus Xbox, you know, Scarlet versus PlayStation 5, that thread won't do anything if it's over. That's my counterpoint. So it's alive. Until that thread dies, it's alive.
It's always going to be a thing. People are always going to have their teams. And
thankfully, we all win as gamers, just like Phil says.
Speaking of all winning as gamers, it's time to squad up where you can join the kind of funny best friends to play video games together. This comes from William Wolfgang, who is looking for Stadia friends with the Stadia name King Wolfgang. I'm super excited to play Destiny again after dropping off before Forsaken. Sorry, Fran. Need some squad mates that play late evening. I am even on randomly throughout the week because Stadia runs well at school and I have big gaps in my schedule. You know, that's a cool idea. Like,
yeah, they got Wi-Fi there, right?
Yeah, I'm just at school. I'm going to play Destiny here. I have a friend who's a teacher, and he was telling me like Fortnite has
King
like fucked things up.
Wolfgang added FM3 adding you.
Have you gotten your thing?
Hopefully, I'm one of your first ads live on the show.
Have you gotten your like Stadia stuff yet?
No, I just got the code.
Got the login.
So all I've done so far is add people. Okay. So we're this far into it. I'm gonna try it today.
You can play with an Xbox. Oh wait.
No. All you can, I think, it's just, you know, the laptop and PC environment and then TV, Chromecast.
Wait, on your phone, you can't connect.
iPhones, you can't do anything with.
Oh,
you can. I'm using the app to add.
Right.
You can add people
right,
and buy
right.
games
yeah.
and all that.
You got a Pixel, I think.
So anyway, King Wolfgang on Stadia.
I have a Pixel.
Yeah.
That's why.
FM3 on there, although I don't know what I'm looking to play at the moment. But I mean, Destiny.
I'm going
to
guess Destiny, yeah.
Actually, for Destiny, yeah, feel free to add me. Like,
Did you were able to cross save on Stadia?
Yes.
Okay.
I have not able. I didn't log in yet to see.
Oh, obviously, yeah.
I just got my invite code last night. Mm-hmm. I don't have the hardware yet. So.
Oh, you're not FM3 underscore. You're just FM3.
That's
what
Phil. Make sure to dispel that.
Phil Harrison was saying.
Only
you can get your preferred name early. There you go.
Do you know I avoided, like, whenever we talked about claiming your name, I got really nervous on the show to even just remind people.
To tell people?
Well, I was afraid that they would check their email and they did get their invite code and somebody out there is going to, like, when I registered it last night, I was like, thank goodness FM3 was still available.
Suck it,
I have
Frank
FM3
Miller.
On Steam, Xbox, PlayStation. Nintendo has never supported a three-character name, so I don't have it there.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it on the Epic Store. That was the other place. Or Origin. And
I remember being really excited to get a Wii U like launch day, because I'm like, I can just get Imran, because this is a new account. No one's going to have to like get it, put in the name. Name's too short.
Oh, really? And like, exactly. Right?
Like, what the fuck? So I have to put the numbers again, but like every other thing. I can't just have Imran.
I think I went with the... I think it was just franchise, like because that was an old
good.
NBA 2K or an NBA street name that I had. Anyway,
you should just say street name. That's that was my old street
NBA
name.
NBA street.
It was franchise.
My old street name is my initials, which I put. By the way, FM3 is the arcade initials. Everybody always asks. I'm the third. Fran Mirabelle, the third FM3 arcade initials.
Fran Mirabelle, a third strike.
That's yeah. Sure.
Grant, you just corrected me, which also everyone has been doing this entire show. So let's go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Well, people have been telling us what we got wrong while we got it wrong.
So much nanobiologist in here.
I'm
just kidding. We love nano. Always helpful.
Borderlands.
I'll start from the bottom. You start from the top.
Okay.
And now we're here. Let's see.
MC Fixer is working on community meetups for Kind of Funny World Tour. They can be found on his Twitter at MC Fixer. Let's see.
Hi, man.
Xbox had a closed Project Resistance beta in September.
Kachoko has a good note, which is, it is a Borderlands 3 free-to-play weekend on, I guess not PC, said PS4 and Xbox, but that's actually awesome deal of the weekend. Is if you didn't try Borderlands 3, now's a great time to hop in.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kachoko. Should have known that. Watch the Borderlands show. I did know that. It just wasn't top of mind.
Did you do the Malwan patch?
Malwan Takedown came out. There's a lot of...
Did you do that yet? Takedown?
No, because I got to get a squad together, and it is endgame content.
We tried to do that last night. We got all the way to the boss, but the boss just fucking destroyed us.
Wow. I didn't know you played that hardcore. Look at you.
I'm enjoying that game a lot more in post-game than I did during the main game.
Yeah. I mean, I like the main game.
Yeah. It's going to be on my Game of the Year list, for sure.
DJ Kano confirms Watto is 100% in Star Wars Racer, Pod Racer, or
fuck
whatever.
Yes. Yeah. We need to make a Watto wiki.
A Watto wiki?
Wattopedia.
I like that. I think... Is that...
That's all that's really...
Did you say the beta note, or no?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think we got everything.
Watto huns the Cantina song in Pod Racing. Okay.
Brilliant.
I'm going to look that up later, and I'm going to tweet about it.
Not as cute as BD1, though.
BD1 is very cute.
It's very cute.
I
between that and Baby Yoda, we're
humming
set.
That, yeah, sure. It's definitely not as cute as
BD1.
good point.
I'm just saying, Watto not a cute character. You know?
I don't know. We got that Watto mask in the back.
Is this supposed to be an Italian stereotype?
Yes.
I guess?
Yeah.
For
sure.
Yeah. Those movies were super fucking racist.
There. Yeah, totally. It was
the Targaryen.
It was the Japanese or Asian accented ones I was like, oh,
yes. Yes.
That's just not right.
Yep. Anyway. All right. This is Friday, so on Monday, it's you and me again, Fran.
We'll be back. Uh-oh. Generate some news on the weekend. We need your help.
Yeah. Tuesday is going to be me and Gary Witta. Gamescast will be recording on Monday. It'll be you, me, and Andy. It will be a show where people can call in and talk to us, similar to that, the dating thing.
I've heard none of this,
that
by the
dating
way.
Thing? Yeah. Excuse me?
Who's hosting?
I don't know who's hosting.
Probably Andy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
I asked Kevin if we could do it. He's like, I don't know. And then
next time
I came back,
he's
like, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So Patreon subscribers can watch that and they can call in to the show and talk with us about pre-Thanksgiving gaming stuff.
Oh, there'll be plenty to talk about. We'll have some good stuff.
What games are you grateful for?
Yeah. Also, Thanksgiving recipes. I would like to know if people think Thanksgiving recipes. Because I have to make a side dish for my brothers.
We're going
to
rank Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Food live.
Okay. I'm not doing the turkey. I just got to do a side dish. But share that stuff. Call in with Thanksgiving recipes.
I make some mean mashed potatoes, too.
That's right. After the show, Kev, do we have a screencast?
No, there's no screencast.
Oh, there's none today. I thought it was on Friday.
Oh, it is, but we've moved it over because we've got Mandalorian next.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to get to.
I guess
what is next?
All right.
What's coming up next?
Mandalorian in review.
In review, episode
three.
Yeah. I watched it.
I'm going to get the hell out of here.
Yeah. That's my favorite of the episodes, finally.
Yeah.
Took a while for me to warm up
that
to it,
ending,
actually.
You
know I didn't know that was Pedro Pascal until, like, the other day.
Wait, who's Pedro
Pascal? All right, that's Mandalorian talk. All right, say
yeah,
bye.
Okay, save yeah. it for the next show, and we're over.
All right, we're out. We've been in here for a long time. Fran, thanks
pleasure
for hosting.
As always.
See you Monday.
See you Monday.
See y'all Monday.